Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Movie Deputy Reviews, where we are here with our second of the Avatar movies, and welcome to 2026. This is our first official episode. If you caught our YouTube live during the countdown last night, just kind of something a little bit special, I thought I'd do something a little bit different. You get to just see me in my living room, which is just as it is, and watching a little bit of the countdown, and then seeing some of the displays on the Washington Monument in D.C. with America's 250 starting and just all of the excitement going along with that. And it's awesome. Now, of course, when I was showing the Times Square ball drop, that is, of course, Eastern Standard Time. And as I am in Central Time, I still had to wait another hour before I got to 2026. But it doesn't stop me from celebrating and enjoying it. Now, what I would consider celebrating might be a little bit different than what you would consider celebrating. Me, it's just at home with my sweetheart and usually a lap full of kitties. I'm past the age of going out and partying all night, celebrating New Year. I'm 51. I will be 52 this year. So getting a little bit of a gray stripe here. Sometimes it shows up a little bit more than others. But yeah, this is our first show of 2026. And I have just been kind of getting adjusting some things here. But I've been getting some feedback on what I thought, or what people thought that my review of Avatar was, and they thought it was a little bit too harsh. Well, I mean, that's one of the things that I do. I look at movies. I don't look at movies like a typical critic is going to. My whole thing is that I interrogate movies for their plot and their content. I don't just look at the story. I look at the story. I look at how well it's played out. I look at the visuals, but I don't focus too much on that, though it's kind of hard not to with the Avatar movies. And then I look, it's like, okay, is there political innuendo? Is there inspirations from other movies? Is there this? Is there that? And there's usually a mixed bag of it as we go. And this is another one of those where there's definitely a mixed bag of ideas from other movies as well. I'm referring to my phone to go back to my notes that I took during this one. So I'm going to just go back a little bit here, go the way of water. And in this one, I did the comparisons to Jurassic Park and Titanic, and my phone about fell on the floor. And then I also made, this one is very Earth first forward. Now, okay, we live on Earth. I mean, that's our planet, that's our home. And obviously in Avatar, their world is Pandora, so it technically would be probably Pandora first. Now, you may be wondering, wait, what movie are you talking about here? Well, I'm talking about Avatar The Way of Water, is the movie we are talking about today. And then tomorrow will be the new Avatar, Fire and Ash. So you're not going to want to miss a minute of these reviews. You don't want to miss a minute of any of the Movie Deputy reviews because they're different. I'm different. I talk about the stuff. I call out movies when they're woke. I call them out when the stuff is repetition from other movies, and when it's not an original thought, which, I mean, Hollywood doesn't have many of those anymore. And then I've kind of been mixing this in, especially with this being our first show of 2026. I'm mixing in a little bit of some other stuff. And of course, you've probably seen me wear these shirts before. Paws Need Claws. This is City the Kitty. He is on social media and stuff like that too. But his parents are instrumental in ending declawing. And I love to participate in that however possible. I would rather have as many scars as necessary and just worry about trimming my kitty's claws and stuff like that. And to me, my kitties are more important than my furniture, which I train them to do their scratching posts and not on my furniture. But it doesn't mean that it's 100% all the time. So, and the fact that I have 7, which I'm sure you got to meet a couple of them on my last program, because Quincy and Zarina were being kind of strange creatures as usual. But yes, I have 7 indoor kitties. I have Zarina. Sorry, I thought I heard something there. But I have Zarina, and then Batero, Maisie, Stormy, Daisy, Quincy, and Aurora. And so Aurora is our youngest. She is about 2.5 years old. And Zarina is our oldest. She's 11. She's going to be 12 in March. And so it kind of has a wide range. 3 of them are exotics. Batero is a Bengal Savannah Serval mix. And Maisie and Quincy are also Bengal mixes. So they definitely keep us busy. But you're probably thinking, wait, I'm here to listen to your movie reviews, not hear you talk about your cats, which, yeah, I get a lot of those messages too, but it's me. I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be real with you all here. I promise to never be fake. I mean, it's too hard to be myself. Why would I want to try to be anybody else? But, and then I deal with a lot of health struggles and stuff too. But then you're probably wanting to know a little bit more about the bomb that I dropped on our New Year's Eve show. Well, that's because this year we are going to get into some stories. I have a lot of personal stories that I have accumulated from attending many theaters throughout the Midwest. And I have, oh, wow, there are some stories I can share that I have witnessed firsthand and that I've also heard from some theater employees and just other theater goers that I've just had conversations with. And so next time you go to the movies, you never know. Because, I mean, I don't just go to movies here in my hometown, but I also travel and go to movies. So you never know. You'll have to kind of keep an eye out for the logo on my clothing because I'm always wearing my logos, especially when I go to the theaters. But you'll never know if I might show up in a theater near you. And mind you, I've gone to theaters in multiple states too. So you're just going to have to keep an eye out because you never know if when you go to the movie the next time, if you are going to run into me. So that's always kind of a little bit of a surprise that I try to do. I try to go around and just kind of surprise people. They're like, oh, and they're like, oh, you work for Movie Deputy? That's awesome. And I'm like, yeah, I work for Movie Deputy. I am Movie Deputy, so I hope I work for it. But let's get back to the movie. Now, with Avatar The Way of Water, this one, I kind of follows the... Okay, you know me, no spoilers. So, actually, before we get into that whole, I want to share the trailer with you, and then we'll kind of get into the movie a little bit further with that. So let's jump over here. Here we go. There is just something so peaceful about, like, this part of the movie when they're in the water. I absolutely love going snorkeling, and I used to go scuba as well, but with some of my health issues, snorkeling is safer. So, but yeah, go being down in the water and just witnessing the life that's in front of you and all of the beauty and everything that's under the water that a lot of people don't realize is there. They just see the water and they see the ocean, but they don't realize exactly how beautiful it is underneath the surface of the water. And we get to really see a lot of that in this movie. Very peaceful.
You think I'm crazy?
The line must be gross.
But I feel her.
Now, why would Kiri think that Jake would think that she's crazy? Well, she has a special connection to Awa, and Awa is their goddess. Yeah, you heard me right. It's their god, except it's a goddess, and that's Awa. And the Tree of Life, which if you've seen the first Avatar, you know what I'm referring to with that. But Kiri has a special connection to that. And don't worry, I'm not going to spoil what that is because that'd be a big spoiler for the movie. But she is connected to Awa in a way that is very unique that, like I said, I won't give it away. That would be too much.
I hear her heartbeat. So close.
So what does her heartbeat sound like?
Mighty.
I cannot let you bring your war here.
Outcast! That's all they see.
I see you.
And that is such a powerful message in all of the Avatar movies, is the simple phrase, I see you. It's an acknowledgement that you are, that they see you for who you are, not just everything, but that it's, that they actually understand you. And that can be such a powerful message in this life too. If finding somebody who can see you for you and not just for what they expect you to be or what they want you to be or what they think you should be, but who you actually are. And so finding that connection is something special, even to the Na'vi.
The way of water connects all things. Before your birth, and after your death.
This is our home!
I need you with me. And I need you to be strong.
I'm also noticing a theme between all of the Avatar movies as they're all coming out in that same part of December. Like the first, I think, was December 18th of 2009 when it came out. This one was December 16th of 22. And then our new one was December 18th of 2025. So there's definitely a theme. And then James Cameron is even talking about there being two more. So another fourth and a fifth Avatar. And I mean, each of these movies is like in excess of 3 hours long. I mean, they're 2 to 3 in that range somewhere, but they are intensely long, and the stories are actually strong enough that they carry through a lot of that, which is kind of surprising, because typically when you get into a story that is that lengthy, it's like at times you're going like this, or you find yourself like even during the theater like or at least I see a lot of other people doing that. I see a lot of other people who kind of get distracted and stuff during the movies and just get sidetracked and start messing around with their phones, scrolling social media. And when a story is good enough that it carries through, that it does not need that, where you're just like waiting for the next thing to happen on the screen and you're just kind of watching and you're just, you don't want to get up from your seat and you're like doing the pee dance sometimes just because you like, gotta get up and go to the bathroom. You don't want to miss a minute of the movie. And you just kind of get so excited and so into it. And there is so much to these movies that you want to do that, but all of the excitement, everything that was building to between the Na'vi and the Sky People, aka the humans, or the pink skins, how they're referred to in this one, but it's the whole building of trust and the building of that relationship and seeing how that goes. And like in the first movie, they were after the minerals, and what kind of happens at the end of the first one, like, and I won't spoil it, but basically it forces Jake and Neytiri and their kids to make a difficult decision that they have to go somewhere else. And that's kind of how they go from being in the part of Pandora that they know and love in the land, and they have to go to basically where they're living in basically like a water type world. And it's not a different world. It's like an island area, but it's all surrounded by water and the whole thing is surrounded by water. And initially those people don't accept them. And so they have to go and experience a whole new environment on Pandora. And it's about surviving, protecting their loved ones, learning to live with people different from you. And it's just, it's so different. But the family bond is so unique, not just in the family with Jake and Neytiri, but then it's also a breakdown of tensions and stuff in their own family, because the Na'vi, and including Neytiri, hate the Sky People like with a passion. And with Jake being basically, he's still human inside. I mean, he's Na'vi on the outside, but inside he's still human. So how does their relationship play out? And this kind of battles with that too. And then you have Kiri, their daughter, who's not actually their daughter. She's actually Grace's daughter. But then there's a special connection to Awa that, like I said, I will not spoil that by giving that away, because that would be huge. But there's a bunch of twists and stuff that happen. But the whole Jurassic Park and Titanic thing, the Jurassic Park is with the creatures that you see. If you were sitting here watching the trailer with us here on YouTube, then you get to see these absolutely beautiful creatures and stuff under the water. And they're almost Jurassic Park-like. And then you see these creatures that they're still flying on, and the banshees and some of these other creatures that you see, that they're almost dinosaurish. And so there's definitely inspirations that you see from Jurassic Park and from science and things like that that have happened. But then at one point in the movie, they're dealing with a sky person ship. So basically an alien ship, and it ends up like kind of being in the water and going underwater, and they're kind of getting trapped in the water in the ship as it's sinking. Sound familiar? AKA Titanic. Well, it's James Cameron. So there were very clear scenes that it's like, okay, copy paste, except take out Rose and Jack and just insert different Na'vi individuals. I won't spoil who is in the ship as that's happening, because that's kind of a major point. And you know me, no spoilers ever. You'll never have to worry about spoilers here. So we are good there. But yeah, because this is just, honestly, I wanted to give these movies such a higher score. The stories are beautiful. The scenery is beautiful. What was done with the first Avatar with CGI had never been done before. And they follow that through into the Way of Water. And it is stunning. It's absolutely stunning. It's impossible to watch these movies and not just be just absolutely agape with just the sheer awe of what you're realizing is what has happened on screen. Is you're watching that as the viewer, and you're obviously, I know it's a movie and things like that, but what had to come together to make this that intense was just wow. And the first movie and this movie, they're just beyond anything that you could imagine. Now, as you probably realize, or if you remember, I gave the first one a 7.25 out of 10. And honestly, I really, at least for these first two, I really wanted to give them both in the eights. Easily in the eights. And I didn't really talk about this much on the last one, so my apologies. But why didn't I give it a higher score? And you notice I'm kind of dancing around what I gave this one. This one I'm also giving it an innocent rating to. I don't think I need to put a guard of the innocent rating on this one, but this one I am giving innocent to. But score-wise, I ended up quite a ways from the first one because, like I said, when I look at the stories, like I was explaining, I don't just look at the story. I don't just look at the graphics. I look at the tone of the story. I look at the political innuendo. I look at like all of these things that are happening on the screen at the same time. And so I can't just look at the story. I can't just look at the graphics. I have to look at the whole thing as it's put together. And this one is unmistakable. There's a lot more politics in this one than what needs to be. Now, I understand Cameron with his position. He wants to put his beliefs into the movies. And I completely understand that. If I was a filmmaker, I would probably do the same thing. Obviously, not the exactly same thing, because we're not on the same page politically at all. I am a strong constitutional conservative, so anything of like the socialist type or just liberal agenda and all of these Earth first, Pandora first ideas, and just so much of the stuff that's happening on, and the racism innuendos, and just and again, the whole thing with the Native Americans, aka the Indians, the references and stuff. And obviously, they're not referenced directly, but I mean, you get the gist as the movie goes on. And so I have to weigh all of that out when I'm really looking at the deputy scale. Now, like I said, personally, just based on the story and the visual, if it was just that, if they left the politics out of this, which you may be, it's like, could they have left the politics out of this? Absolutely, they could have. This one, it's so much more emotional. They could have played on that. They really could have just gone down that path with this. And like in the first one, there was a little bit of that political innuendo, but not as much as like what we have here. And not as much as what we have. It continues into the next one as well. So where does that put me on this? Where does that put Avatar the Way of Water on the scoreboard? Well, this one's going to surprise you. Probably a lot. Now, you're welcome to disagree. I don't expect people to agree with me all the time, but that's why I've come here and I talk to you about these movies and I explain how I get to these scores the way I do. Now, this is still a decent story. The story at points is incredible, but as a whole, I can't say that it has that strength throughout the whole story. Now, you may be wondering, but where, it's just tell us where you're at. Well, Like I said, you're probably going to disagree with me a lot, but there's probably going to be a lot of people going, wait a minute, that actually makes sense. I am giving Avatar The Way of Water just a 5.5 out of 10 on the Deputy scale. Now you may be thinking, wait, what? But this is, like I said, I look at how it all mixes together. There are people thinking these are the best movies ever. And, you know, that's fine. You are more than welcome to that opinion. But that doesn't mean that that's the same for everyone. And some people are going to watch something like this and they're going to get up and walk out because just some of those innuendos and some of those little pieces of the story that are blended in there that don't really belong. And these movies have such promise that, like I said, if they could take this, the entire story, the entire movie, cut maybe a half hour, 40 minutes out of it to where it's still two and a half hours long, and take out all of the blatantly political innuendos, these movies would be so much better. And you may disagree with me, and you know, that's fine. But I also know I'm going to have a niche of audience that's going to go, wait, that actually makes sense, because I get a lot of messages regarding that of like, you know, I thought this, but then you said this, and I never thought of it that way before. And you know, I'm not here to change your mind. I'm just here to share with you what I think of the movies based on purely the Deputy scale, of course, which I created. But I have to stay true to that, even when I personally disagree with this a little bit. So I hope that this helps. I hope if you have not seen this yet, that you will watch it with fresh eyes. I hope even if you've watched it, that the next time you watch it again will be with fresh eyes, with maybe a little bit of a different perspective on some of those scenes as this goes on. This is a lot more emotional. It's a lot more just, it's a much smaller story expanded to a much larger idea. So, like I said, I hope that this helps at least a little bit. So, if I have maybe inspired some thought, if I have upset you, if I have like made you smile, any of the above, I want you to make sure and you hit subscribe and turn on those notifications so that you always get the latest and greatest Movie Deputy content. This will be here on our YouTube channel, and of course it will be anywhere where you listen to podcasts as well. We are taking a hiatus from Rumble. Feel free to go back a couple episodes and I kind of explain that a little bit more. And then we're going to be launching our story soon, so you don't want to miss out on that, because those are going to be a lot of fun. So as always, I will be back tomorrow to talk to you about Avatar: Fire and Ash. But until then, have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.